RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Mula Warman military command to send 500 troops to Sudan. Indonesia is necessary to meet target of index of its business. Now the news in detail. Mula Warman military district command is set to deploy 500 personnel to Sudan next March. The troops will join the United Nations Peacekeeping Corps in Sudan. Those who are sent will be divided into two units, namely the Peacekeeping Operation PKO and the Peacemaking Operation PMO. Spokesman Colonel Andi Gunawan pointed out that the troops will be deployed for 1-year mission. They will also join and then replace fellow Indonesian troops in the Peace Corps. Indonesia has been a solid contributor of the UN peace mission in Sudan and in some other countries. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzad Malik said that the government of Indonesia must have plan and target to increase index of its business. He feared that it's very important to maintain climate investment in Indonesia. Ambassador Muazzad Malik also said in Jakarta on Wednesday that some countries in Asia, such as Singapore, Malaysia, and Vietnam, had made a plan to increase their business index. Indonesia should do similar thing to face competitiveness at Southeast Asia or global market. He welcomed policy packages which are launched by the Indonesian government, but the package is still not enough yet, and Indonesia must make the real plan to increase business index. The domestic food production needs to be increased as Indonesia will not import rice. This was affirmed by Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman. He said that the government has not imported rice over the past 15 months and this year, hopefully, there would be no rice imports. The Minister of Agriculture has recorded that the current national rice stock reaching 1.2 million tons was still adequate. An additional 3.5 million tons will be added following the February 2016 harvest. Since January 2016, rice harvest had been conducted daily, as a result of which the monthly unhulled rice production reached 500 tons, which has increased the nation's stock. Therefore, it is expected that the rice production would be adequate so that the country would not need to import the commodity from other countries. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A team of traditional fishermen were caught by Malaysian water police. Malaysian police with the hull number 3225 has caught one skipper and four crew members ABK of a 5-gross-tonned GT boat from Langkat District, North Sumatra. The news was received by the Association of Indonesian Traditional Fishermen, KNTI. Vice Chairman of KNTI Secretary General Nico Amrula said that his association has sent a letter to the Indonesian government to send legal aid for the fishermen. According to Nico, the Malaysian Water Police has allegedly breached the Memorandum of Understanding Common Guidelines concerning treatment and fishermen by maritime law enforcement agencies between Indonesia and Malaysia. The understanding, Nico said, was signed by both countries on January 27, 2012. Consequently, in Okeade, there should be any traditional fishermen, whether Indonesian or Malaysian, violated the national border, no arrest will be made. They should help to escort traditional boats to get back to their respective countries' waters, is said for the case of illegal fishing and use of chemical materials. An earthquake measuring 4.9 on Richter scale told today's Nusa Tenggara provincial capital Kupang at around 4:27 AM local time, Central Indonesian Standard Time, on Tuesday. Local Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG acting chief Iksan remarked in Kupang on Tuesday that the quake did not have the potential to trigger a tsunami, but it was strong enough to prompt the local people to scramble out of their houses in panic. The Indonesian archipelago lying in an area of intense seismic activity where several tectonic plates collide suffered frequent earthquakes, but there has been no report of any damage caused by the earthquake. Jakarta Gubernur Basuki Cahayapurnama requested the World Bank to accelerate the execution of Jakarta Emergency Dredging Initiative project so that the flood can be mitigated. He said that Emergency Dredging Initiative project is one of the pots to mitigate flood in the capital city. The Jakarta Emergency Dredging Initiative project is a dividing water flowing in Jakarta equally so that it does not concentrate only on one spot. Gubernur Basuki also said that based on the concept, flood can be controlled and retreat faster. Thus, Jakarta administration wants the project implemented faster. He said that there are 13 large rivers. From those 13 rivers, the World Bank is responsible for dredging 5 rivers, while the remaining ones are handled by the Jakarta government and the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry. The last item, Indonesian badminton single Maria Fabe Kusumastuti aims to join Rio Olympic 2016 to boost her performance in the remaining 7 tournaments before the Olympics. Rapper, she also said that she plans to score the world's top 16 to keep her hope in the Olympic qualification at bay. Fabe is currently at the world 21st with a total point 34.870, 200 points short of the 20th. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Indonesia to Reform the Status of Indonesian Citizenship Joining ISIS. The government of Indonesia through the Minister of Justice and Human Rights will reform the status of Indonesian citizenship for Indonesian citizens who fight to defend other countries such as Syria and the terror group Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. This rule is enacted after the fact is telling that some Indonesian citizens deliberately travel to several countries in the Middle East conflict and take part in fighting in the region. According to the plan, the rule will be integrated into the revision of Terrorism Act that is now being discussed by the government and the parliament. Actually, the discourse has surfaced since ISIS issue flared up in mid-2014. According to the National Counter-Terrorism Agency BNPT, per September 2015, more than 500 Indonesian citizens went to Syria and joined ISIS. In general, the State of Republic of Indonesia regulates this issue in Law No. 12/2006 on citizenship. The aspect that can make a citizenship of Indonesian citizen can be reported are that if they become citizens of foreign country, they become the army of other countries and they participate in a state of radical groups. Although Indonesia does not recognize ISIS as a sovereign state, this regulation can still be applied. The high interest of some Indonesian citizens to join to defend other countries, of course, is very worrying. What they believe that they are fighting in Allah's way is wrong. Indeed, what they do is to spread terror and fear. Why do they struggle and fight for other countries while they still have a country that is free, secure and peaceful like Indonesia? Religious reason to fight or jihad in Allah's way is unacceptable. In addition to simply spreading terror and violence against the Islamic religion, ISIS itself is a matter of politics and power instead of a matter of religion. Indeed, the loyalty and the love of Indonesian citizens who join ISIS rather than their own state is questionable. The discourse of Indonesian government to revoke their citizenship rights has truly received support. Indonesian state needs people who love and are willing to fight for the nation of Indonesia, not the people who depend other countries and nations by spreading terror and fear. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular program Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on the 4th of February 1945 when the Yalta Conference was held. The Yalta Conference, sometimes called the Crimea Conference and codenamed the Argonaut Conference, held from February 4th to 11, 1945, was the World War II meeting of the heads of government of the United States, the United Kingdom and the Soviet Union, represented by President Franklin Roosevelt, Prime Minister Winston Churchill and Premier Joseph Stalin, respectively. This conference was ended discussing Europe's post-war reconciliation. Conference convened in Lavidia Falls near Yalta in Crimea. Yalta Conference also agreed on the plan to divide Germany into four, occupied by American, British, French and Soviet. Another important decision in this conference was agreement on the trial establishment of the United Nations in San Francisco in April 1945, and the agreement on the assistance of veto held by the three countries in the Security Council to be established within the UN organization. The next event was in 1994, when the United States lifted the embargo on Vietnam. 11 years after the signing of the Paris Peace between Vietnam and the United States, the government of the United States lifted its economic embargo on Vietnam. The American embargo imposed after the war in Vietnam, which lasted from 1964 to 1973. The Americans suffered total defeat. A year later, in July 1995, diplomatic relations between the two countries restored. And the last event was in 2004 when Facebook was launched. Facebook is an online social networking service headquartered in Menlo Park, California, USA. Its website was launched in February 4, 2004 by Mark Zuckerberg with his Harvard College roommates and fellow students Eduardo Safrin, Andrew McCullum, Dustin Moskovics, and Chris Hughes. The founders had initially limited the website membership to Harvard students but later expanded to college in Boston area, Ivy League and the Stanford University. It gradually added support from students at various other universities and later to high school students. Since 2006, anyone who is at least 13 years old has been allowed to become, depending on applicable local laws. Its name comes from the Facebook directories often given to American university students. Listener, that was Today in History, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program, That's Focus. Today's topic is ASEAN Economic Community must be responded by increasing productivity, so stay tuned. ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, must be addressed positively because the pre-market is the era of tight competition. So the key to deal with AEC is by improving productivity, ethics, and competitiveness. In a military police leadership meeting at the School of Police Jakarta, President Joko Widodo has said that Indonesia is now entering an era of competitive challenges that must be addressed quickly. According to President Joko Widodo, a quick change must be immediately responded. Meanwhile, to answer the challenges, the growth of fashion business as part of creative industries is expected to compete in ASEAN Economic Community. Head of the Creative Economy, Triawan Munaf, said that ASEAN Economic Community is an opportunity to be able to encourage the growth of Indonesian creative industries, and one of the growing businesses in this country is the business of fashion. Being confident to compete, according to Triawan, Indonesia can create young designers with distinctive style for display both at home and abroad. Therefore, for Triawan, ASEAN Economic Unity is aimed at making ASEAN as a single market and production-based unity. Triawan also said that the government encourages people, especially the younger generation, to see AEC as an opportunity and momentum to improve. To pace ASEAN Economic Community AEC, Head of Supply Chain Indonesia, Setiadi, said that Indonesia has an opportunity to be able to develop the halal supply chain, as it will be a determining factor for the competitiveness of ASEAN Economic Community era. Supply chain or halal logistics, according to Setiadi, will develop into the demands of Muslims. Consumer Indonesian Muslim percentage is approximately 12.5% of the world population, as many as 88% of approximately 205 million people in Indonesia. One of the developments is through incentives in the certification of halal supply chain, and the development of infrastructure and facilities of halal supply chain such as warehousing and harbor. The implementation of the halal supply chain potentially increases the price of products, and the role of the government is needed to formulate strategies, policies, and programs to support the implementation of the competitiveness of national products. The same thing was also expressed by the PT Head of the Distribution and Logistics of Indonesian Employees Truck Association, APT Trindo, Kiat Maja Lukman. According to him, halal supply chain is a need for some communities in Indonesia. Even these days, Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, hasn't socialized to a number of logistic companies. In the process of determining the halal certification, so far MUI has just carried out a testing at the factory level, not post-factory until the consumer level. Listener, that was Focus Today, presented by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Mulawarma Military District Command is set to deploy 600 personnel to Sudan next March. The troops will be joining United Nations Peace Corps in Sudan. British Ambassador to Indonesia, Muhasyan Mali, said that the government of Indonesia must have a plan and target to increase index of its business. The domestic food production needs to be increased as Indonesia will not import rice. This was affirmed by Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman. He said that the government has not imported rice over the past 15 months, and this year, hopefully, there would be no rice imports. A team of traditional fishermen were catched by Malaysian Water Police. Malaysian police with the hull number 3225 has caught one skipper and four crew members of a Pegrostone boat from Langkat District, North Sumatra. An earthquake measuring 4.9 on the Richter scale jolted the East Nusa Tenggara provincial capital of Kupang at around 4 past 27 a.m. Central Indonesian Standard Time on Tuesday. Jakarta Gubernur Basuki Cahayapurnama requested the World Bank to accelerate the execution of Jakarta Emergency Dredging Initiative (JED) project so that the flood can be mitigated. Indonesian badminton single Maria Febe Kusumastuti aims to join Rio Olympic 2016 to boost her performance in the remaining seven tournaments before the Olympics. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now, here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Maluku Province. Stay tuned. One of the rare natural phenomena, namely the total solar eclipse, will occur in some areas in Indonesia. From the cities that experience a total solar eclipse, the city of Ternate in North Maluku Province is the best point to witness the total solar eclipse next March 9th. This rare opportunity is certainly utilized by the government of Ternate City's attractions while promoting Ternate City. To welcome the total solar eclipse, a series of activities has been prepared, such as the welcome ceremony, eclipse festival, art and culture at the Legugam Folk Festival, and Ternate Tourism Expo. The whole series of events that will be held at some eclipse observation points, including at Kiraha Sport Field, in front of Sultanate Palace of Ternate, along the area of Falajawa Beach, Kalamata Fort, Toloko, and Moti sub-district. One of the observations of a total solar eclipse in Ternate is Fort Kalamata. The fort is also one of the attractions visited by many tourists when they traveling to Ternate. Kalamata Fort is also known with the name of Santa Lucia Fort or Kayu Merah Fort, given the name of Kayu Merah Fort because it is located at Kayu Merah Village, about a half hour drive from the center of Ternate City. Fort Kalamata, shaped like polygon with thickness of wall only 60 cm and 3 meters height. At the rear, the wall merges with the sea. The fort has four taper-shaped bastions. Each bastion has the aperture. Besides, the fort also has a large yard, wells and stairs. If you come to Fort Kalamata and go up, you will see clearly the beauty of the Matara Island and the Tidore Island with soaring mountain. On the east, you can see the ship activities at Bastion Port. Bastion Port is only used to cross to the island of Halmahera and Tidore by a ferry. For those of you who want to visit the Kalamata Fort, it is recommended to come in the morning or late afternoon, when the sun began to dawn. Visiting Kalamata Fort, many other wonderful panoramas can also be seen while enjoying the rooms and walls of the fort. Kalamata Fort was built by Portuguese in 1540 to oversee the Spanish that mastering Tidore at that time. Portuguese competed with Spain in search and control the spice trade in Maluku. After the Portuguese left Ternate at 1575, Spanish occupied it and used it as a trading post. In 1606, Kalamata Fort is taken over and restored by the Dutch in order to function as a fortress. In 1627, the Dutch left the fort, so that the fort was occupied by Spain until 1663. Besides being used for the trading post, the fort is also become the center to launch attack against the Dutch. In 1798, Kalamata Fort was captured by Kaichinuku troops, or the 19th Sultan Tidore. Then the fort fell into the power of England in 1801. The Dutch then managed to grab it back, until finally in 1843, the Van Helbeck president officially left the fort. Kalamata Fort was so poorly maintained. Then the fort was renovated in 1994 by Indonesian government and was inaugurated after the renovation in 1997 by Education and Culture Minister Professor Ing Wardiman Joyonegoro. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kalamata Fort in Maluku Province. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back with me Rahma on Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the history of letter. Letter is a mode of communication to deliver written information from someone to another person. The delivery is done with some unique ways, such as putting the letter on an object that can float on the sea and using poultry, especially pigeon. These ways became popular letter delivery. Post-sending system in the world began in Egypt in about 2000 before Christ. In Egypt, where cultural exchange with Babylonia happened, letter was wrapped in cloth, animal skin, or some parts of tree. In the more modern era, there was a world organization centered in Finland which offered correspondence to all people in the world. So, based on history, correspondence in Indonesia has begun before Europeans came to Nusantara or Indonesia, which was in the era of Kutai Kingdom, Tarumanegara Kingdom, Pajajaran Kingdom, Majapahit Kingdom, Sriwijaya Kingdom, and Mataram Kingdom. Communication at that time was only between kings. The way they communication was still so simple. The kings used wood skin, pieces of bamboo, lontar palm leaves, and animal skin to send a letter or message. After Europeans entered Nusantara or Indonesian archipelago, correspondents started using paper. European nation also introduced letter delivery service, namely post office. In 1809, Governor General Herman William Daendels instructed POS activity to be smoother. Then, a road called Jalan Raya POS was built from Anyer to Panarukan for 1,000 km. That's why letter delivery from West Java to East Java took 6 days only. Now letter is rarely used because of the rapid growth of technology. People in the world can communicate through mobile phone now. It is expected that letter can be preserved because letter has become history of development of a nation. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the history of letter. I'm Rahman, thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to a singer, Memes, who presents in the Indonesian pop music industry. Now, let's listen to a song entitled Terlanjur Sayang by Memes. Enjoy the song.
Cintaku yang kau jala membawa diriku pun percaya, memberikan hatiku hanya kepada dirimu selamanya. Sampai kapan juga menjaga segala rasamu agar dirimu selalu merasa akan cinta kita. Apakah diriku yang bersalah hingga bisa di depan mata, tetapi diriku masih tetap cinta kamu kasih selamanya. Sampai kapan juga akan sampai bunga seribu ragu yang kian menyerang, tapi diriku terlanjur sayang. Walau arah mata angin melawan, tapi ku bertahan dan ku berjalan. Cinta kamu kasih selamanya. Sampai kapan juga menjagakan cinta kita agar tetap di tempatnya sehingga takkan sampai bunga. Seribu ragu yang kian menyerang, tapi diriku terlanjur sayang.
Meidiana Maimunah, who better known as Memes, was born on May 6, 1965. She began her career as photo model, actress, and singer of Indonesia. Her popular song in 1990s, namely Terlanjur Sayang and Miliki Diriku. In 1980, Memes joined into Suara Mahardika Group. In 1980, Memes joined in Suara Mahardika Group in 1979. After succeed to perform at the first Karya Cipta Guru Soekarno Putra show in 1980, Memes then got many orders to play in a large screen film. In 1994, she released her first album entitled Terlanjur Sayang. The song has successfully sold out and become a hit song at the music charts at private radio stations in the country in 1995. Well, listener, before we continue this segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the next beautiful song by Memes entitled Janji Hati. Happy listening.
Hari ini
After releasing the first album, Memes, who was graduated from Trisakti University, released her second album entitled Cinta dan Kasih in 1996 with the hit song Miliki Diriku. The next album entitled Ilusi, published in December 1997 with the hit song Pesawatku. Memes also managed to include a nomination of MTV Most Wanted Female and the Best Female Singer of Anugerah Musik Indonesia or Indonesian Music Award version. The next album of Memes entitled Janji Hati in 1999 and Jangan Pernah Tinggalkan in 2001. After vacuum for quite long time, in 2006, Memes released her new album entitled Perjalanan Cinta. In this album, Memes dedicated her old hit songs such as Terlanjur Sayang, Miliki Diriku, Janji Hati, Jangan Pernah Tinggalkan, and Selalu Di Sampingmu. Well, listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two songs from Memes entitled Arti Kehidupan and Jangan Pernah Tinggalkan. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Ku menempuh sedalam lautan, ku mencari arti kehidupan, mendaki gunung kekecewaan melelahkan. Kau menjelma seperti hayalan. Dalam kenyataan, perjalanan yang penuh likunya kini telah tiba di sisimu selamanya. Yang terakhir di cintamu, ku temui arti hidupku. Engkau bukan yang pertama, tapi pasti yang terakhir di cintamu, ku temui arti hidupku. Kau menjelma seperti hayalan, kau impian dalam kenyataan, perjalanan yang penuh likunya kini telah tiba di sisimu selamanya. Engkau bukan yang pertama, tapi pasti yang terakhir di cintamu, temui arti hidupku. Engkau bukan yang pertama, tapi pasti yang terakhir di cintamu, ku temui arti hidupku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Ku pejamkan mataku ini untuk
untuk mengenang dirimu, ataukah melupakanmu? Aku pun tak tahu cinta. Ku buka kedua mata ini untuk mencari dirimu, ataukah meninggalkanmu? Aku tak kuasa cinta. Ku ingin selalu bersama, menemani sepi jiwaku. Aku masih tetap cinta padamu, selamanya cinta. Ku pejamkan mataku ini untuk melepas dirimu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.